The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. Tons of reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's fast, safe, and secure, and it has fast payouts as quick as 2 hours. There's also so many bet types, including same-game parlay bets, live betting, player props, and futures. FanDuel is making it easy for everyone to bet this season with a bunch of promotions that they'll be sharing all season long on our podcast. If you've been listening along, you've heard a lot of those. There's risk-free bets and same-game parlay bets, enhanced odds markets, and more. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code J&J so they know we sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, January 24th. We've got another packed episode. We're talking basketball. We're talking a little bit of football. We're talking about Japanese macaques. Some macaque tack.
Macaque tack.
Jones. As we got another packed episode.
What the fuck?
We've got breaking news about the Japanese macaques.
Golly.
We're jam-packed. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it good?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And let's start out with the Booger Boy of the Week, Grayson Allen. Still an NBA player, still doing flagrant, reckless shit, fully just yanked Alex Caruso down mid-leap. Caruso broke his wrist, is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Billy Donovan came about as close as you'll ever hear a coach in the NBA come to saying that this dude should be kicked the fuck out of the league. And I'm sick of it, personally. Tyler, how do you feel about Grayson Allen and about this play?
You know, the disciplinary action and the suspensions is cool, but he need his ass beat, bro. Like flat out. He just flat out needs someone to put hands on him. You know, maybe that'll change, you know, shit because – you know, he's been doing this shit since Duke. Duke was when he first popped on our radar, so he's probably been doing this shit his whole fucking life. You know what I mean? This is just the type of dude that he is. But, I mean, he's just a dirty dude. And, like I said, I just think somebody needs to beat the fuck out of him one good time. Please, do it. Do it for America. For all of us. Please. Beat the fuck out of Grayson Allen, Ted Cruz looking ass, bro.
Did you see the smirk? He is begging to get his ass whooped. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Like you said, it's been happening since Duke. Even Duke fans were like, fuck this nigga, bro. You know what I'm saying? His own homies was like, all right, man, you a whole bitch. Dog, he snatched. The initial foul was hard enough. And then he reaches around and snatches him and spins the nigga. Bro, you know what I'm saying? I think like Billy Donovan said, you could have ended his career. And that's a fact, bro. Get him the fuck out the league. He just got a bag from the Bucks recently, though. You know what I'm saying? Get him out of here, though, man. That's some bullshit.
I'm looking up where Grayson Allen is from because Tyler makes a great point. I mean, if in Long Beach or L.A. or Southern California, if you're doing crazy shit like that in middle school or high school, you will get your ass beat. So he must be from somewhere with it. Oh, he's from Jacksonville, Florida. He went to high school at A New Life Christian private school.
Had to be a private school kid. Yeah, because Jacksonville got some thorough motherfuckers, so he had to been a private school kid.
Yeah, I will say sure. This, though. Grayson Allen is 6'4". You know what I mean? Like,
he's a punchable 6'4".
That's what we like to think. You know what I'm saying? Right. There might be a reason he ain't got his ass beat. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some thorough motherfuckers there, but the nigga's still 6'4", and he a little crazy, but somebody need to do it, though. You know what I mean?
He went to a private school that does not list their tuition on their website. So I'm going to assume that it's a significant chunk of money to go to that private school.
He don't hoop like he played with white boys, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, he doesn't. He doesn't hoop like he played with white boys. So you would think he would have been around somebody that might have scrubbed his ass real quick, but That smirk lets me know that he hasn't. You don't smirk after a dirty play like that. And you know what I'm saying? Like, he fucked up. Do you remember when he, like, bowled Ja Morant when he was going to the fucking lane? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, damn. You know what I'm saying? At least he reached out for Ja. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my bad, even though he really didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
The Caruso thing to me, I mean, the tripping and all that, you know, tripping and elbows, that's all bullshit. But to me, like, I gasped like I was watching a horror movie when someone sent me this clip. Like, you cannot fuck with anyone who's in midair like that. And especially not to shove them or pull them. Pulling them probably even worse. I mean, Caruso, he's lucky that that's just a broken wrist, bro. I mean, you land on your head, you don't really have any control of what's happening to you when you're up there. You just, that's as butt naked as you can be wearing clothes. I've jumped as high as I can jump. You know what I mean?
Why don't white crime, bro? I think that's jealousy. I think he's jealous because Caruso has eclipsed them on the white boy scale of NBA players. And that was just an incident of white on white crime. He must be stopped.
He's the honorary light skin of the league, and he mad as fuck about it. You feel what I'm saying? But with those type of fouls, you don't know where you are in the air until you hit the ground. You know what I mean? Like, he's lucky he got his wrist down, because it was nothing but shoulder and head to break his fall if he didn't get his hand down. You know what I mean? So, yeah, fuck that nigga. But it's been fuck that nigga for a long time. But
It has for sure. But Tyler might be right. Maybe this is I'm the grittiest white player.
Right. Jealousy, dog. Jealousy.
I wouldn't even call Caruso just a dog. I wouldn't even say he on that grit no more. You know what I mean? Gritty players don't be getting them type of highlight dunks and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
He's a bulldog on defense, though. Dog.
He is.
On defense, for sure. But, I mean, like, you know, like, Grayson, like, to me, he's a catch-and-shoot type nigga. He don't really play all that much D unless he fouling the fuck out you. You know what I mean? Like,
You're right. He's not really, like, Grayson Allen's not really, I don't even know how you describe him. He's not really a
gritty just
player.
Dirty.
He just every now and then does something super dirty. So he has a reputation of playing hard on defense.
Right. We just think he is as dirty as he is, but I've never heard, great stop by Grayson Allen. You know what I mean? We hear, fuck that nigga. He don't foul the shit out of somebody. You know what I mean? Sheesh.
All right. Well, you know, the sun is out. Winter is starting to warm up. So we're going to, at least in Southern California, so we're going to do a second Booger Boy of the Week, which is, this gives me so much pleasure.
Wait. Yeah. I think the only person that can beat Grayson Allen might be Jake Paul. We just set that up. Get him in the ring with Jake Paul. You know what I mean? I think that might be the key to stopping this. You know?
Did you ever have the experience in school where two people you didn't like were fighting, and you were like, "This is good news either way for me."
Right.
All right. I mean, most of the time I didn't care. I don't really know if there's a few people I didn't like, but they was all bitches. They wasn't willing to fight nobody. You know what I mean? Like. The people I didn't care that I would really trip off would fight, and that was always, you know,
entertaining.
Right.
Tyler's eyes lit the fuck up though, so I know he knows exactly what I'm talking.
Yes, it's a very rewarding experience for sure.
Just like, yeah,
names.
Get his ass.
What's the backstory behind these dudes for real?
It was actually two of my AAU teammates who I couldn't fucking stand, and they got into it one day at practice, and I was like, hell yeah. I was like, coach, both of these guys need to get out of here. We can't have this on our team.
Bro, this nigga here. We can't have this on our team.
Yeah, I wanted both of them to get the boot, bro. Both of them boots, man.
Coach, the team dynamic is in shambles.
When was this?
Shit, I was like 14. I was a freshman in high school. I was on a 15 and under squad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You played basketball?
I played AAU. I played AAU. I played JV. Then once I got like my driver's license at 16, I was like, fuck basketball. It's time to get on these girls, bro. Like,
girls, chicken nuggets, and fucking weed, nigga.
Exactly. So, yeah.
That's incredible. So many careers, so many sports careers ended by driver's licenses.
I didn't get mine until after my senior year, G. Until my senior year.
Is that true? Like,
oh, you were an outcast in high school.
My sophomore year, I was dating somebody who was a senior, so she had her license, you know what I mean? All my homies had their license their junior year, and then I finally got a car my senior year, you know what I mean? And so I just said, all right, I'll get my license now, I guess.
In California, you can get your learner's permit, which lets you drive with an adult in the car when you're 15 years and 6 months old, and you can get your driver's license when you turn 16. I had a single mom and a little brother, so I got my learner's permit on the day I turned 15 and 6 months. I'm a leap year baby, so she did the math and sent me one day earlier than it could have been. And I took my brother to school the next morning. She was like, with no adult, like, but she that night, she was like, great, congrats. You are picking up what we need for dinner from now on. You know what's weird? Kids don't really, like, they don't really give a fuck about driver's licenses and
Uber
shit like
and
that
shit
anymore.
Now, bro. What the fuck you need a license for, man? You got Uber, you got Lyft, you got all that shit now.
I mean, my niggas was Uber,
and,
though.
And your I world mean, is... You know, your world is, yeah. You can contact anyone you want. You can be videoing with anyone you want. I just find that weird because for me, I mean, my mom wanted me to get my license so she could put me to work, basically. But I wanted it, too, just because that's freedom. You know what I mean? Yeah. Your license, you're suddenly, that's really becoming an adult more than turning 18 or, you know, whatever else. I mean, I don't know. You're your own person at that point.
My parents weren't going to let me drive their car. Flat the fuck out. I was a silly ass nigga, so it was like fuck that. You know what I mean? So I everywhere my homies when I was with them. So y'all didn't like when y'all had got y'all license. Y'all homies didn't jump in the whip wherever y'all went. I didn't go anywhere dolo. You know what I'm saying? As a kid, for real.
Yeah.
You guys know what's I was the most boring, non-stressful teenager to raise in history until I got behind the wheel of a car. We would there's a big ass hill in Long Beach, Signal Hill, which Jackson's actually been sending me pictures from the top of because he's been going to Signal Hill when he visits his
his boo.
Wait, I just realized maybe I'm not supposed to talk about Jackson's personal life like that on the podcast. But anyway, Signal Hill has a very steep hill down the back. I mean, if you just roll your car to the edge and go down it without touching the brakes, you'll be going 40 by the time you get to the bottom. It's a God very damn steep hill. They used to bomb it with, you know, skateboarders used to go down it in the 70s, all the crazy shit. I blew a tire out at the bottom of that hill because we were going down it so fast. And then I tried to hit the brakes and the front and the tires blew out of my car. We did all kinds of there's a traffic circle in Long Beach. We used to race around the traffic circle. Like, yeah, you put us behind the wheel of a car. It was fucking... It was the stupidest shit ever, bro. It's a miracle that any of us survived being teenagers.
I didn't know this nigga like this. He went to school with me, but his brakes went out going to school. So instead of like pulling over and calling, like, you know what I'm saying, he started using the parking brake and fucked the transmission up. He's like, I'll use the parking brake to stop, nigga. Bro, there was no way my mom was going to let me drive the whip, G. You know what I mean?
Tyler, what was the stupidest thing you did behind the wheel as a teenager? This is great. This is not on the topic list. I love these stories.
Dog, one night I snuck out at like 2 a.m. to go see a chick I was dealing with. I was like 16 years old. And the motherfucking battery died while I was at a stoplight. Dog, and this was fucking, this was the pre-cell phone era, right? So, you know, I didn't have any numbers memorized besides like my homie and my mom. You know what I'm saying? My homie's 16 years old. He can't do shit for me. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I had to call my mom like, yo, it's fucking 3 a.m. I'm broken down. And yeah, that was quite the incident. She took my driving privileges for like fucking 3-4 months after that shit, though.
I would have
hitchhiked before I called
my mom.
Your mom did not give you the, I appreciate that you trusted me enough.
No,
to
absolutely not.
Bro.
Hit my fucking head off, dog.
I would have hitchhiked, nigga. I would have been flagging motherfuckers down the street, nigga, like, yo, I snuck out. Please help your boy out. I would have risked death before I risked telling my mom, G. It was not, bro.
Telling your mom the next morning, someone must have stolen the car.
Right?
Or the
what
battery.
The fuck? Interesting. Under the covers, I'm fully clothed on some Ferris Bueller shit. You know what I mean?
Shit, nigga.
Like, I don't know what happened.
It's a car thieving ring. This is what they right. do. They steal a car and they drive it 10 miles and then they leave it with the battery dead.
Madison, Alabama is a dangerous place.
God damn. Fun times ahead for John and I raising children. We did that math with Vincent turned 8 last year. And so I was like, oh, man, you're halfway to getting your driver's license. Oh, my fucking God, you're halfway to getting your driver's license.
The year's going to fly, bro.
I wasn't dangerous dumb. I was more like just dumb, like curious, you know what I mean? Where I would do some, just try some stupid shit. So
I wasn't curious about anything else except for doing stupid shit in the car. But I think I told you guys this. I got pulled over coming. Char went to UCLA. I went to Long Beach State, and I used to come home at like 2 a.m. so there wouldn't be traffic. And I was having a race with myself. I would time how fast I could go from her dorm in Westwood to my mom's house. One time I did it in slightly under 30 minutes, which if you go look at a map of where Westwood is and where Long Beach is, it's faster than you should be driving. But I got pulled over at 3 a.m. going 119 miles an hour on the 405. Damn. And the cop approached the car with concern. He was like, you're not drunk or high or anything? And I'm like, nah, man, this is just what I'm stuck with.
Right. As a brain.
Foolish kid who's in love, man.
Right. And this dude, he got down and was making eye contact. He wasn't wearing any sunglasses or anything. He was like, I want you to understand, I work the night shift on CHP, and the phone calls that I get to come out here when someone has wrecked their car going the speed you're going, you don't want to be inside that car.
I'm glad he said that to you, G. Yeah.
He's like, by the books, I'm supposed to arrest you for reckless driving. I'm just going to give you a ticket, which fucked my life up, obviously, because it was $500.
Goddamn, that's $5,000 in major
right.
money.
Right.
That's a whole semester's worth of food in college, yeah. obviously. But he was like, it was a scared straight moment.
That $500 probably hurt you more than that speech, though. The $500, lied. I'm going to chill out. I remember I had a Ford Taurus, and I was going 130 in that Ford Taurus, and that motherfucker was shaking by the time I got
to that. I was about to say,
shit.
Your windows were probably
that
rattling,
motherfucker. Bro. I'm like, what the fuck am I, you know, my homie had a Diamante. I'm trying to keep up with him. I'm like, nigga, man, calm your ass down.
What the fuck happened Corolla. To Diamante?
Bro, them shits was luxury. If you had one homie had a Diamante, the other one had a Money Green Q45. He was like in high school. He would post up in the parking lot, park that motherfucking reverse, and just post up on that motherfucker. And I'm talking about, you know what I mean? They could smell the Q45. Had that cream interior, nigga. I'm talking about them ones pulling up on him like, what's your name? Shit. My nigga Jeremy, G.
Let's talk about our other Booger Boy of the Week. Few things I've enjoyed in my internet Twitter.com experience more than watching every corner of Twitter unite to dunk on Aaron Rodgers yesterday after he scored one touchdown against the 49ers, one touchdown to be eliminated and most likely end his career with the Packers. I am a 49ers fan. We are America's team. We've now beaten the Cowboys and Aaron Rodgers, which I feel like is tremendous. Tyler, I don't even remember the last time Twitter was so united in fucking talking shit about a professional athlete, bro.
Boy, Twitter lit Aaron Rodgers' ass up. It was unprecedented. Everyone united to get that motherfucker out of here. Like, the names that I saw floating for him, like Breitbart Star and Rush Lambeau, and of course, Throw Rogan. You know, that's the classic. And Tuck Rule Carson, like...
Tuck Rule Carson was that ripped my stomach open, bro.
Yeah, they got him the fuck out of here. And see, the thing is what I think everyone hates about Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, there's a whole lot of anti-vax motherfuckers out here who don't get the heat that Aaron Rodgers had, because Aaron Rodgers plays the whole, oh, they're out to get me, and I'm so much more intelligent than everyone else is. And that's what rubs motherfuckers the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Because shut the fuck up. You out here making horse medicine smoothies. You ain't smarter than nobody, bro. You dumb as fuck about this one. You need to take your loss. And this motherfucker had a 30-minute call with ESPN talking about, I'm being silenced. Motherfucker, you had a 30-minute call with ESPN saying this dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro. It was a night for the ages, and they lit his ass up, bro.
My barber don't even fuck with ivermectin.
God damn, he's off the barbers,
and that speaks That's all I need to say. But I didn't watch no motherfucking football, but you know what I mean? If the barber ain't fucking with ivermectin, you know, if that cohort is anti-ivermectin, bro, you wildin', G.
You can't be further out in your takes on science and medicine than John's barber.
Right, right.
Tyler, you tweeted something. I'm curious for your opinion on this. You feel like, because I know you were always one of those people, one of the people in the media.
I'm a media guy. Fuck the media.
But you were always someone, and I agreed with you, to be clear, who was like, Aaron Rodgers, he's won one Super Bowl, but in terms of talent, he's the most talented quarterback I've seen. And you said last night kind of changed that for you a little bit, and I think you were kind of putting Pat Mahomes ahead of him now. What were your thoughts on that? And I'm always curious about that. Like, when does performance or championships, like, where does that intersect with talent? Because they're obviously different conversations, but this one kind of changed it for you.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say last night changed it for me. It's Mahomes has – I thought Mahomes has been perhaps the most talented quarterback I've seen in my life for a couple of years now. You know what I'm saying? So my whole shit was this. You can't put Aaron Rodgers in the GOAT conversation, right? The postseason resume isn't stellar enough to do that. You know what I mean? Like you said, I've been saying for years, he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. But he might not even have that distinction anymore with how ridiculous Pat Mahomes is. So it's like, bro, you're not in the GOAT conversation. There's a good chance you're not the most talented quarterback we've ever seen anymore. Motherfucker, you can go. Like there's nothing else that we need to discuss about you, bro. You can get your shit and leave. You feel me? So
you're
so
not
that's kind of where I'm at with Rodgers.
You're just an asshole, right?
Exactly.
The NFL Conference Championships are here. To celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for either conference championship. Bet 5 to win $150 on any team to win either conference championship game. We are recording this Sunday morning before we know what the matchups are going to be, but I'm a huge 49ers fan. I'm riding high off of ending Aaron Rodgers' career with the Packers, so I'm going to take the Niners to beat either the Rams or the Bucks next weekend in the NFC Championship. You can do it too. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. It's a simple and easy to use app with generous promotions every day. It's safe and secure with best in class customer service. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 2 hours. Already have FanDuel Sportsbook? FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 off a $5 bet when you use promo code JNJ when signing up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use promo code JNJ, that's J&J, and pick your conference championship team before kickoff. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150, bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP.
Okay, let's talk about Steph Curry. I could not believe this, but I think it was Marcus Thompson tweeted, his buzzer beater last week was his first game-winning buzzer beater of his career. Now he's hit game winners with 0.2 seconds on the clock and shit like that. But that I could not believe that for all the crazy moments we feel like we've seen from Steph. Were you aware of that stat, or was I just totally I being casual Guardi B or what?
No, it was news to me, but the homie Miles Brown brought up a great point, is that Steph doesn't play fourth quarters. When Steph is on, you know, that game is fucking out the window by about the middle of the third. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, plays a big part into why that was his first buzzer beater.
I mean, is that important of a distinction? Like, he's, I mean, himself, I know it was cool seeing how excited he was that it was his first, but I still remember that OKC shot, you know what I mean? I still remember that motherfucker from 30. I mean, that was more impressive to me than his first buzzer beater, you know what I mean? That motherfucker C-walked after that shit, you know what I mean? He would seem really comfortable after this shot. He was like, all right, let's shake. So I don't know. It's interesting that it's his first one, but he's had so many like big shots in the final seconds that I don't know. It didn't feel like it at all.
I want to talk about I'm a huge fan of backlashes to the backlash. I think it's a very great sign that the internet is just a manifestation of our brains eating themselves, basically. And I feel like this week we saw the backlash to the backlash against Russ. And I think I could pinpoint it to the tweet that SportsCenter put up when Russ had a shot that literally hit like the top of the backboard in that Magic game. And the official SportsCenter account tweeted the video and said, Russ is always going to let it fly with the airplane emoji. And people were so mad at them for like, dude, you're the official SportsCenter account.
Yeah.
Tweeting like hoop hype or whatever the fuck. Like, and they ended up having to delete the tweet, which I thought was hilarious. And then since then, I feel like I've been seeing not just Lakers fans, but basketball fans in general angry about media piling on Russ or whatever. It is an interesting question, bro. Like, there has to be some straight sports media, right? That's not like LMAO or crying emoji all the time. That's just like, here's what's happening. But it feels like everyone is LMAOing or or sopping emoji now. So maybe that's what it is. But what did you think of that? First of all, what did you think of SportsCenter tweeting that? And then what do you think of, you know, maybe seeing stuff kind of turn back in Russ's favor a little bit, Tyler?
SportsCenter and other media outlets like that, they can't do shit like that, bro. Like, you know, you got to leave that to the NBA Twitter regular dudes to crack jokes like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you consider yourself a serious media outlet, you can't come with the jokey jokes clowning a player like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you can't discuss when a player's struggling. Like SportsCenter can throw some stats. In the last three games, Russ is 16 for 73 or something like that. You could do shit like that.
John, what was it? I mean? John sent us a stat like that that they could tweet. What was the stat about him dunking, John? He's like under 60%.
58% in dunks. You know what I mean? There's smart ways to clown on them, you know, if you want to just like highlight certain stats or whatever. But I don't see nothing wrong with the tweet. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, that was the most regular shit anybody has said clowning Westbrook. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, Russ is always gonna let it fly. It's a fact. He gonna let that motherfucker fly. You know what I mean? I don't think that's really piling on. I think it because it came from SportsCenter. Just like, yo, shut the fuck up. And I get like that feeling because it, you know, but I don't think it was really piling on. That tweet was like, I mean, pretty
that
regular.
That tweet was clowning Russ, bro. It wasn't like they were praising for hitting a fucking 40-footer. That motherfucker hit top of the backboard and nothing else.
Russ hit top of the backboard, not SportsCenter. The motherfucker, and it's like the 12th time. They at least waited to the 12th time. It wasn't like it's the first time he did that, motherfucker. It's the 75th time he's probably done his career. It's the 12th time in three games, and they finally said, fuck it. He gonna let it fly. I ain't mad at it, you know what I mean? I get what y'all are saying. I just feel like it wasn't that big of a deal. As big as people were making it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think people in general, like the way we talk about athletes should probably change. You know what I mean? But I don't think that right there was that damning. You know, did y'all get in these Lakers spaces? How they talking about niggas? And these are the niggas that's mad at SportsCenter?
But that's not SportsCenter.
Nigga, I was on Yahoo talking dummy shit. Nigga, I don't get, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was on Yahoo's, on their Twitter page, official NBA Twitter page, talking about shit. I'm not mad at it. I just think that was to me the most chill. We see what fucking Bleacher and all them do. Like, they're doing the same shit Bleacher does. That's no different. You know what I mean? And Bleacher's a serious, you know what I'm saying, a sports, you know, page or whatever. Like, I don't see nothing wrong with it, G. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it's very interesting that these motherfuckers that be clowning all the time want to be the ones mad. You know, when somebody says some very chill ass, you know what I'm saying, like, Russ lets it fly. What's wrong with, like, the nigga do be letting it fly? That motherfucker, like, is it a lie?
I don't think anyone's mad at the text that they tweeted. I think people are mad that SportsCenter, which, you know, I know they've always had, like, fun and stuff, but that's the thing. If you were to ask America to name one sports show or media thing, SportsCenter might be number one.
When the last time you watched SportsCenter, dog?
I work late, bro. I see. I have SportsCenter on in the background.
I watch SportsCenter probably once every 6.5 months.
My point is though, I didn't see anyone mad that like, oh, what your text was too far. It's the fact that they're clipping Russ hitting the top of the fucking backboard to talk shit.
Did the nigga hit the top of the backboard? How many times has nigga hit the top of the backboard?
Just because it's true, it doesn't mean you need to say it though, bro. You know what I'm saying? There's a thing called tact out here that especially a sports the fucking top sports media outlet in the world should be using and shit like. In
for us to
like
be
this.
Talking about tact, nigga.
But we ain't ESPN. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but hey, I don't know, G. I just ain't mad at it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like, I think the way we talk about Russ as a whole is fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, that's why when I was saying, like, I think Russ is still figuring it out rather than saying Russ is, you know, whatever. Because I don't like it. But I think that was very fucking vanilla. You know what I mean?
I don't think what they insinuated was a fact.
You know,
I don't think anyone's saying they went too far with the actual joke. Everyone's saying SportsCenter, you can't crack these jokes.
That's not.
I think that's what
Center
people
joke.
Are saying.
That's a Jenkins and Jones joke.
I think SportsCenter can say that type of vanilla version of that shit. Like Russ is gonna let it fly. I don't think it's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think that's that big of a deal. Russ is gonna let that shit fly, regardless if it's a SportsCenter, Bleacher Report, whatever. I mean, like, dude, I mean. How many times have we seen Bleacher do the same thing? I don't
Bleacher
give a fuck
not
about
SportsCenter though.
But they're
Bleacher Report was built on
they're owned
fan
by
blogs.
They're owned by Turner, my nigga.
I know,
you
but
know what I'm saying?
But they were built on fan blogs.
And
you know
I and right, but I see more Bleacher than I even see SportsCenter. I'd say Bleacher is more prominent
bro,
than SportsCenter.
Bleacher Report is us though. You know what I'm saying? SportsCenter is suits in the studio. Bleacher Report ain't that. You feel me?
The person Bleacher that's running
Report,
it is the same.
Bleacher Report built their shit off of like, you know, NBA Twitter commentary type
but it's,
shit.
But it's taken as a serious sports account, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's that big of a difference. They're owned by Turner. The same 23-year-old white boy trying to talk like a nigga is running Bleacher Report that's running SportsCenter's fucking internet account. I don't think it's a difference at all, G. I don't take either of them too seriously. You know what I mean? Their Twitter account. You know what I mean? Maybe the personalities on there. You know what I mean? I take like certain personalities more seriously, but their Twitter account, I don't take it that seriously.
Bro, if you're going on SportsCenter, you got to wear a suit. If you're doing a Bleacher Report show, you're in there in a hoodie and jeans. It's a difference.
If you're on Turner, you're wearing a suit. Turner runs Bleacher Report. You know what I mean?
But again, like even inside the NBA, which is funny, there's shit that people will say on inside the NBA. You feel like, hey man, like you're the top. I mean, we talked about this with some of Shaq's comments about Spider. Like, hey bro, like. You know what I mean? You got to chill the fuck out a little bit. You're the top, like, even though you're entertainers and all this shit, you're the top media people in basketball. Like,
and they don't be chilling the fuck out, and motherfuckers still watching shit. I don't think it's that big of a deal, personally. I don't take SportsCenter that seriously. I always thought SportsCenter was the more closer to the fans than most other shows as far as in how they talked about sports.
I think, to get on my fucking media high horse, I think we have a problem that's much bigger than Russell Westbrook in this country of there not really being a line between news outlets and shit that's funny anymore, right? Like, that's how most people get their news now, is through shit that, and it used to be that it was like, here's the boring version of shit, which is what reality usually is, and then you come over here with the funny stuff in a column or whatever in a newspaper or a pundit show on TV, and now it's all... Everything's punditry, you know what I mean? Like, not just in sports, but everywhere. And I do think that that's been to our detriment, not just about Russell Westbrook, but it's like, no one's gonna be boring. Like, everything is the attention economy and how much attention you can get. And you know what I mean? Like, they had to delete the Russ tweet, but I'm sure they were still thrilled with the engagement. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that shit's just exhausting to me, bro, that there's no, like... Everyone's trying to be John running the Yahoo account.
No, but like,
which was great for John, but that can't be what our entire media ecosystem is.
But if you look at the content, like you said, like the content you see on ESPN, you know, the talking head shit, the way that they talk, bro, like Stephen A. has said way more flagrant shit than that tweet. You know what I'm saying?
And
on
we
show.
Understand. We understand that's an individual personality at ESPN. SportsCenter is ESPN. No, SportsCenter is ESPN, bro. Like, if you're tweeting from the SportsCenter account, that is ESPN's voice speaking to you. You can't do shit like that with that account.
I don't.
Which is why they deleted it. I mean, yeah. He's right in that. Like, that is why they deleted it, because it was because ESPN can't be talking shit on Russell Westbrook as an outlet, which is what they're doing.
Right, exactly.
I think they deleted it because of the backlash, not necessarily because of the tweet. If you know what I'm saying, it wasn't because they can't do it. They'll probably try it again. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's an attention economy. That's how we're trying. That's how people are playing.
They're probably going, how do we move the line 1 millimeter back?
And the way you move
the
on
attention without the outrage.
And the way you move on social media is different from how you move on TV and things like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a totally different, like, you know, playing field to me. So how you play on there is different from how you move on TV. I don't think it's that big of a deal, personally. But I get y'all's point. I get you. But I don't like when I'm looking for serious content, like serious sports content, I go to a particular podcast I listen to when I'm trying to hear that type of shit. I don't go to SportsCenter. I definitely
Jones.
Go to fucking Twitter.
Jenkins
you
Jones.
Know what I mean? No, definitely.
For our
I listen to myself. Say, you know what I mean?
For our analytics-based breakdown of Rudy Gobert's defensive value.
Right, bro. I'm not. You know, there's particular places I go. It's not SportsCenter. It's definitely not on Twitter, G. That's how I feel. I feel Twitter is different from how you talk on television and whatnot.
All right, let's talk shit about our families real quick. I want to know, John, you had a tweet last week. I felt in my fucking soul. It was like a Cleo Soul album, but as a tweet. It reverberated into my bone marrow about the fact that you have no idea yet, because your daughter is not yet old enough to turn on light switches, about being a father, that your number one responsibility is just turning off light switches, because otherwise they would never go off. And I feel this. I couldn't relate to anything more. My children wake up, they walk around the house, they turn on every fucking light. And then when they go to bed, I mean, it's like, I'll drop them off at school and come home, and I'll sometimes stand there like Homer Simpson, just dumbfounded. Just every light in the house is on right now. They've turned every light on. It's bright as fuck outside, and they've turned every light on in the house. What the fuck is this?
I'll go in rooms, and I'll be like, Rather, turn the light off, and there's no difference. Why do you want this light? Why? I don't understand it. There was one time I turned the light off. That day when I tweeted that, I turned the light off in the bedroom 3 times. Nobody in the bedroom anytime I do it. The third time, I'm like, how the fuck did she even get back here? You know what I'm saying? Did she sneak back here just to turn the light on? It's crazy. I'll look up. Every light in the fucking house is on. Why? There's 2.5 motherfuckers here. What, you know what I mean? We all in the same place half the time. 98% of the time, me and Rather just kicking it. You know what I mean? Why are all these lights on? You feel me? I think I'm kind of weird in the sense that she'll come in, it'll be pitch black in the house, and I'll be just sitting on the couch staring at the ceiling looking at my motherfucking phone. I don't necessarily like light. I find peace in dark, you know what I mean, for whatever reason. But it's just weird. How, like, you know, like, I have to go behind people constantly and turn the light off. And then she sent me the motherfucking Venmo. She, like, here's $1.78 for your fuck ass.
That was funny.
Thanks for saving.
You got your ass.
Right, bro. I'm taking away her Martin privileges. We can't watch Martin no more. She been killing me ever since we started watching Martin. When I'm not tired of this shit, dog. I'm like, I get no respect in my own motherfucking home, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to save us money. We can put this money towards fucking Sony. She like, nah, nigga, hear that weak ass 178. Fuck you. And these lights. Click, 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 click. Crazy. Crazy.
I don't know where it comes from.
There's a lot of people that relate it, but
a lot of people relate to it.
A lot of people retweeted that when I saw the Venmo, like, this is beautiful. You know what I mean? So hey, man.
Well,
whatever.
I feel like she also picked the funniest. $1.78 is the funniest.
Bro, not $2, not $1.75. Here is $1.78. Like, I looked at my phone, like, she was right. She was like, in the next room. Like she could have yeah. made the comment.
She could have thrown the pennies at you.
I look at my phone. I'm like, she didn't say nothing. I look at my phone. $1.78. Like, what? You the pettiest nigga I ever seen in my life, dog. Sheesh. I did steal her chocolates, though, man. Maybe, you feel me? I did steal her chocolates.
You stole the chocolates, and then you tweeted to brag about it.
Too. Right. It was a glorious moment, though. Glorious moment.
Let's talk about a momentous new day for bread. John, you brought this, I believe, to our to our attention. Can you set this up, please?
So, Master P, that started another company. It's a bread company, and you know, to continue his consistent, you know, relating everything to war for whatever reason, he names the bread Soldier Bread. Nigga,
Soldier Bread.
Why would I want to eat some war bread, nigga? Who's gonna buy war bread? Free this man of the shackles of soldier. It's soldier everything. I'm tired, dog. You know what I mean? God damn. You know,
that shit does not sound appealing at all. Like you hear the word soldier bread, like you think of like some MRE shit, like
right.
meals ready to eat shit that these motherfuckers are eating in the trenches that never expires. Like who the fuck wants to eat some shit called soldier bread? What? Get the fuck out of here with this Great Depression ass shit, dog. And for one, this motherfucker's from Louisiana, bro, the best food state in the fucking country.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? You could have came up with another name, you know, tying Louisiana into this shit, like Louisiana Sunrise Bread or some shit, and that shit would be appealing. This motherfucker went with the MRE Great Depression title. Free this man from the shackles of being a no limit soldier.
Please, Lord,
I know
please.
You're a tick dog and all that shit, but goddamn, not with the bread, bro.
Right. Goddamn, show soldier Reeboks are one thing. Soldier bread, nigga. Soldier Rees, soldier bread. No, nigga, we don't want the soldier bread, dog. You know, that shit sounds dry as fuck.
Tyler's right. It sounds like an MRE. Like, hold this under your armpit
Powder.
While you're sweating for 30 seconds, right. and it'll expand into a loaf of bread.
Shit. Golly. I'm looking at this nigga like, what? He was so hype in that motherfucking factory, too. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Whew. I do like the fact that he's into different types of businesses, and he's all, you know, he's a solid yeah. dude. I fuck with him hella tough, but god damn, G.
He's the yeah. most solid dude.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
You talked to
him. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like on some real shit, every artist said that he let them, he signed over their masters to them. Every No Limit artist said when they first signed on with him, P said, okay, you're going to get your masters. I'm going to buy you a house and I'm going to hook you up with a financial advisor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For every artist he did. And you don't see that in the music industry, bro.
Solid dude, man. Solid dude.
But Soulja Bread ain't it, my boy.
Silk the Shocker ain't making money off them marriages. It's probably like, but it's a very kind thing. You know what I mean?
I have come across Percy four times, three of them at funerals. And that man moves through the world in a way that is very different from how any of us would move through the world. I got a chance to talk to him for a couple minutes, too. And then just when you see him walk into a affiliated funeral and everyone is aware that he's there and is like, it's like the Pope, bro. I mean, like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just different. So he wants to call the bread soldier bread. I mean, that's why I held the mic away from my face while I was laughing at you guys' jokes. Shit. You call whatever you want, soldier, Mr. Miller. You know, I mean, that's the official position of the Jenkins and Jones podcast.
big love to Percy Miller.
Absolutely.
You know what
absolutely,
I mean? Big love at all times. But your boy will not have soldier bread in this household, okay?
This is not a soldier bread household.
This is not a soldier bread household, okay?
All right, is it time for Macaque Talk?
Macaque Talk. Y'all been low-key clowning me ever since Cock Talk, man. I don't... You've been leaning in ever so slightly.
I actually think Cock Talk was like one of the funniest jokes that any of us has ever made on the podcast, because it is super fun to say and it's very stupid, which I feel like is the I feel like that's if you were to do like a one of those charts of the most efficient joke you can make in the Jenkins and Jones style, that would be at the top right. Cock talk with Jenkins and Jones. All right, but we're talking about macaques, which is the little white furred Japanese monkeys that you've probably seen pictures of chilling in hot springs. They're one of those pictures that go viral every time someone tweets them, because it's the reminder that like we really are not that far away.
Like you'll see pictures of two of them in a hot spring, and one's like massaging the other one's scalp, and the massagee looks like they're just in bliss and shit. Yeah,
are we like one chromosome away, something like that? It's like,
we're like 98% of the genetic.
It's like 98.9% from chimpanzees. Yeah. And I had a biologist explain this to me, because I think when you hear that when you're a kid, it's very abstract. And the way that the biologist explained it was, I read this in a book. I don't remember what book it was. Start with a ball of clay and then start with two balls of clay. Make a chimpanzee sculpture and then make a person sculpture. And 98% of the shit you did is the exact same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like compared to a jellyfish or or something like that. So, yeah, the macaques, because of the hot springs, I think they really drive that home. Tyler mentioned the photo. I saw a photo of one that had his fingers tented with his eyes closed. You know what I mean? And it just looks like he's like, the weight of the world is lifted. I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
We're two chromosomes away. I just looked it up.
Okay, there you go. There is a population of Japanese macaques that are... I sound like a fucking dipshit every time I say macaque, but that's
macaque,
the name of this.
Macaque. 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 That's all you from the name Wisconsin. Of the species,
so. Yeah,
macaque. Right. Go ahead.
The Takasakiyama Natural Zoological Garden has 677 of these monkeys, and they are easy to study. Their society is easy to study because of the prescribed sort of area in which they operate, which includes the hot springs. And the biologists who track these monkeys have been shocked by, for the first time in their observation, a female monkey has become the alpha, Queen Yake. And the story that I think the New York Times broke, that's at least where I saw it. I was hoping people on Twitter wouldn't have noticed this shit so we could like be the ones to tell everyone about this, but I feel like everyone saw it on Friday, unfortunately. But I just thought this was so fascinating. Queen Yake beat up her own mom as part of ascending to the throne of ruling over this group, and then it is now endangered because there's like this love triangle of these two suitors that it's like she's got to deal with that while also dealing with power, which I feel like is a very human fucking problem to to have to encounter. But what did you think of this? This story to me was great because it was a reminder that for all that all our human concerns seem very important, it's not that far off of monkeys just trying to climb the ladder. You know what I mean? Yeah.
She beat up her mom, and then she beat up like the 30-year-old alpha, which is like a senior citizen in monkey years. I think she's like 9 years old. So she is ruthless. She out there beating her mom up and beating up old men, like, you know what I'm saying, to get to where she's at. What I found interesting, though, was they're talking about how mating season can jeopardize her status as the alpha because, you know, there's a degree of submission that she has to, you know, perform to mate. And, you know, if she submits to someone, that might be her, you know, vacating her alpha spot. So this is a tough decision for Yaki right here. You gonna get your fuck on, or are you gonna vacate, you know, your throne for love and monkey dick, or are you gonna, you know, say fuck, and I'm here to, you know, rule this shit and get first dibs on these peanuts these motherfuckers roll out. It's quite the conundrum here for Yaki.
Love is overrated, Yaki.
Yeah, stick to them peanuts.
Love
get
is overrated.
Dib on the peanuts.
You feel me? I think, bro,
peanuts over everything, Yaki.
My first thought, I think it's because I've been watching a bunch of like women's basketball highlights, was like, this motherfucker would have a crazy crossover if she fucking, you know what I'm saying, if she played ball. My second thought was, I got a lot of cousins, right? You know what I mean? Some will pop the trunk, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they lean a particular way, right? But none of them got the hands that my cousin Portia got. Portia got the hands of God. My second thought was, Portia would probably whoop this bitch ass. Like, I don't know why. I was thinking, Portia and maybe my cousin Travis, both of them got the hands of God for some reason. I think if she lucky she ain't ran into one of them, because they would cook Yake, I think. But Yake's a queen. I don't mean to pit, you know, baddies against one another, you feel me? All hell her. I hope she says fuck love and keeps running shit over there. You feel me?
What is it about the monkey brain that also resides in our skull that dominance is so important? You know what I mean? Like what? Like why? I mean, you're beating up your mom. I mean, I know that, you know, that their family structure is different than ours. Like, you're beating up your mom. You're beating up old men. So you could rule over these 677 monkeys in this zoological garden and get the first peanuts, bro.
I think there's only like 3% of people that care about power. Maybe 10%. I don't know. Because I don't give a fuck about power. And it might be the same. Like, she's just one of those people that are monkeys. That is, you know, super power hungry. You feel me? Where she's like, fuck everybody. Sociopathic with it. I'm beat my mama up. You know what I mean? Then I'm going to drag this old ass man. And we run this shit. You know what? Do y'all care about power at all? I don't think it's a normal human thing for people to care about
too
power.
Too much responsibility comes with power for me, bro. Leave also, me the fuck alone.
I just don't care. I don't care about enough things. You know what I mean? I just care about certain things, and I don't want to know or have any control over what most people are doing. You know what I mean? So.
I care about power professionally. Like, we're very, like, that's something that, having started out in our little corner of the world as a covering sports in Long Beach, we started out on the bottom rung, and I cared very much about not being there anymore and about having the power to do certain things and influence certain things. But that, I think, and maybe this is just me rationalizing that mindset, I think that's more about wanting the, you know, in your 20s, wanting stability, a feeling of stability to come out of a job in a way that I now understand in my 30s is not, that's an internal problem, not an external problem. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, but I it was very important to me. And I do think we still run, like I said, very small corner of the world, but we take it pretty seriously. You know what I mean? That it's mm-hmm. like, okay, we are who we are. You know, we earned our way to the spot. I didn't beat my mom up to get there.
Jesus, you ain't sociopathic with it, you know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
I care about power over myself and like my ability to assist and be and help my family. That's all, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I care about. You know, I don't want to control anybody, like my mom, my wife, Somi, none of that shit. I want to. I mean, maybe when she's older, I would hope to be able to have some, you know, influence. You know what I mean?
But control, not control.
Yeah, but control. Yeah. Like, I just don't. You know, power. Yeah,
Like the power that leads to personal freedom is something that I think we all aspire for.
Yeah.
The power that is like dominion over others, I don't give a fuck about that.
Keep all of that. I don't want it. You know what I mean? Just leave me alone.
All right. That's all the time we got for Jenkins and Jones today. Thank you so much for fucking with us. We will be back on Thursday. We'll see y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.